Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
Before we get started, we want to thank Rothy's, Candid, and Ritual for sponsoring today's episode. Go to rothys.com/showmans, go to ritual.com/showmans, and candid.com/showmans. On to the show. Calling all Gleeks.
I'm Kevin McHale.
And I'm Jenna Ushkowitz.
We became best friends on the set of Glee.
And now we're doing the Glee recap podcast you have been waiting for.
How romantic.
Each week we'll take you behind the scenes.
Spill all the Glee tea.
And break down episodes from season one with former cast, crew, producers, and writers that brought the show to life.
This is Showman's Glee Recap Edition.
I think everyone needs a little more tardy in their lives.
To Showmance. I'm Kevin McHale.
I'm Harry Shum Jr.
I'm Kevin McHale. Not the basketball player, okay?
We have Harry Shum in the studio. Woo! Wow.
The busiest man in show business.
Literally.
No, not
nonstop
all.
Working, nonstop dadding, nonstop being a cool human.
Y'all look really good.
What? So
you
do you.
Look really good.
We have lights on in the studio.
I am very happy about this.
I'm so happy.
You know what's good? We have gotten to, like, you know, see people we haven't seen in a while, and everybody looks very good.
That's everybody good. Looks good.
They got
good.
That skincare regimen.
Yeah.
Except
good.
For Michael Malley, who looks like Santa Claus.
He's got a beard.
He has a full beard.
He has a full beard.
And that means he's going to look really young once
good,
he shaves
though.
It off.
That's true.
I feel like it preserves the skin when you just, like, don't.
And it's so fresh, like, when you shave
that's
it.
That's why I'm growing mine a little bit, because then I'll shave in like 2 days and feel like I aged backwards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're like, it's like a skin protector.
Yeah, it is. It's great. Harry, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having
me. Oh my God, it's been so long.
I know.
It's been 10 years.
We were just talking.
50 years.
Harry was like, I didn't have much in this episode. I was like, well, none of us did.
I mean, I didn't have much for the whole, like, season.
This is like, this was earlier, but like later on in the season, maybe back nine, was like Kevin and I would look at each other and be like, we're expensive extras this one.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
We'd all be like, okay, one line. Cool.
Yeah, you just open up a script. You're like, okay, this is a great episode. Like, I'm going to watch, too.
Yep. It's like, I have two lines. One of those is probably going to get cut. Jema and I once had an argument, like a fake argument about who is the more expensive extra in a certain episode. She was like, I have five words. I'm like, yeah, well, I have three.
and
they could narrow it down to one if needed.
Like syllable. You get paid by the syllable.
Yeah.
Although there's times where I'm like, I think there was an episode where I had a line and then that got cut. So that was
same.
Shot to the heart.
That happened to me. I was like, I had one line and it's gone.
But this is where we've been rewatching them, obviously, and we're getting into like where we all became a Glee Club, right? Mm. Like after Somebody
Special.
To Love,
yeah.
After Road's Not Taken. And this one, though, we really got to see a little bit more of Mike Chang dancing.
Well, yes.
And we really get to see some of these.
Yeah.
He said something?
Yeah, what did you say?
You
said like one line. I don't remember what it was.
That's right. He did speak.
Wait, this was the
Throwdown. Sue's kids.
I can pop and lock.
Yes.
That was the first line. Oh, that is an achievement.
Yes. Yeah.
Achievement for Mikey.
Achievement.
Okay, wait. Let's go. Let's just start at the top. So it's episode 7. We're at Throwdown, which originally, do you remember, Harry, was called Smackdown?
Oh, yes, the script,
And then I guess there was like
WWE, right?
Yes, exactly.
You can't
Smackdown.
Do that. Oh, that's
so
why?
Vince McMahon
I never knew why. I was like, why did they change it? Like that. It's like, it's a really good name.
I was like, I know this because of my brother.
Throwdown doesn't sound as interesting.
All right, so Ryan Murphy directed this one. The Holy Trinity wrote it.
Yes.
Obviously, Ian, Brad, and Ryan.
Yep, sound it out.
Yep, and Kevin, songs.
Oh, songs. Okay, songs are Hate on Me.
Ooh,
also,
yes.
I love the idea of Sue Sylvester just randomly finding a Jill Scott song. She's a big Jill Scott. Like, No Air, You Keep Me Hanging On, Keep Holding On.
Oh my God.
Keep Holding On, yes.
And Ride With Me.
Lots of tears on that one. Huh?
And Ride With Me.
I have to say,
oh, yes,
yes.
My goodness.
I also think I
knew that song.
Yeah,
we all
none of us did.
We all thought we did. I was when I was watching it, I was like, there's little words that people are just completely skipping over, and then be like, go to Naya.
Well,
Naya knew the whole thing.
Yeah.
So here's what happened, right? We were doing this on set behind the scenes, Ride With Me. Ryan heard us doing it. Ryan said, we're adding this into the script, so learn the song because we're going to do it tomorrow.
And we did the chorus for him.
We did the chorus. Yeah. And then we all had to go home and learn the verses, and I was panicked and that I would get fired if I didn't know this.
And we were doing it live, which we never normally did either.
No.
But I also feel like this was the first point where they started writing for like our friendships in real life.
Yeah, they saw.
And,
like,
and this is a light sprinkling it, like a sprinkling of it in the episode. Like, yeah, that gets more intense in season two. But
it does get intense.
Very intense.
A little more specific and intentional. But this was, I felt like a lot of times in this episode, it was nice to see like us as characters and as friends.
Yeah.
Where like the Glee Club came together and then moments like Ride With Me, which is like silly and fun. But it was nice to see like, oh, that's based off of our real friendship. And us just like,
well, there were some stakes in our lives. Yeah. Like, we were stakes. Like, we can't, like, get fired for not knowing the song. Like, why'd you get fired from the show? Oh, because I didn't learn Ride With Me.
I didn't know Ride With Me. I didn't know the lyrics. I panicked. Although those panicked.
Oh, I think everyone was panicking, but not you. I didn't see you didn't seem like you were panicking.
Oh, that's good. That's acting.
Yeah, that was very good acting. Very good acting. But that was, I think, the time where I learned the technique that didn't work, where you would. If you didn't know a word, you'd kind of like, turn away from the camera. Kidding?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this one,
I
you kind of couldn't.
Every number.
No, you couldn't.
And it was, we got in trouble during it because, I don't know if we got in trouble, but we were rapping like off beat. Like something was really off in what we were doing. Like we were really bad at it. Like really bad at it.
Well,
yeah, we didn't have a metronome.
No, so we had, so we did things like this. We had these like, little like things in our ears called earwigs.
Oh my god,
and
we had
so
the earwigs
they,
in our ears.
They would play like a thump. Ooh. They would play like a beat, so we could keep tempo of the whole thing. But the problem was we sucked. Like we couldn't actually do the song.
Did everybody get earwigs, or was it just the good people to set the tempo?
I think I had an earwig.
Everybody got an earwig.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Maybe you didn't get
one. I was one of the bad ones. So yeah, and I got one too.
Because I was like, there's no way they're giving me anything to keep time. Okay, so now we learn everybody, a lot of people called in and asked that if Ride With Me was an add-on, because I guess we've
could
spoken
you not
about
tell
that.
By the way it sounded? Oh my. I remember watching that. I was like, oh, this sounds really bad.
Yeah. It was also nice, though, like sentimentally to watch it back now. That scene means more to me than like when we filmed it. Or like, it was nice to see the Glee Club like come together. They missed each other.
And we were in like a full panic during that scene when we were actually shooting it.
Well, especially because this whole episode is so intense and racist. And like,
it really is.
It really is.
I love this episode.
This, besides the pilot, this so far in our journey of rewatching these, this was my favorite.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, you have somewhere to go. Now you can look back and be like, let's not do that again.
Yeah.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, I feel like doing, like with Glee during that time, it was just like, there's no rules really.
Right.
It was what kind of made the show
the thing
it
is.
It's so special. Like, you know, it did. You know.
Yeah.
But I also feel like the jokes in which, like, Ian wrote for Jane or for Sue. It's almost like the racist and crazy things she says almost work in the same way a stand-up comedian can get away with saying those things.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the time.
I think Jane Lynch has this effect that whatever comes out of her mouth, you're like, well, that delivery was really good.
Yeah.
You're like, I buy it. It's okay.
So the whole point of this episode, well, there's a couple things.
Well,
but it starts off with Jane Sue and Will.
With the 48 frames, which is so, super slow. It's just so funny. But the encompassing of the whole thing. Ready?
Yes.
So the minority students in Glee Club aren't feeling heard. And in another one of Sue's plans to take down the Glee Club, decides to. That's what I wrote. That's all I have. It's blank after that. She decides to.
You're like, what?
And I never filled it in.
I'll fill it in for you, Jenna.
Thank you, Kevin.
And this is giving me flashbacks. Like, you could ask Kevin anything about anything.
Yeah, and he'll spit it out.
He'll know what is happening.
I'm glad you think that. My memory is gone.
I mean, it's not about memory. It's just like the know. You know.
He does know things.
I'm filled with useless pop culture information.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
At this point, it is very useful.
I guess so.
Okay, Kevin, fill it in.
So she uses her spies, Quinn, Santana, and Brittany, to sow distrust and Will.
Yes.
And then she decides, with the information that the minority students are upset and not heard, she decides to split them up. and then calls everybody a really awful name when she does it.
Which is where Asian 1 and 2 were born.
Asian, other Asian, Wheels,
that's right.
Gay Kid, Aretha, Shaft.
That was so, it was so jarring yet so acceptable. Like, yeah. We just accepted it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's jarring. It's jarring.
I don't know. We all accepted it. That's like, let's be real. I mean, you got a job, and you're like, you know, I got to get this paycheck.
Yeah.
I think Ian once said, consider it the sincerest form of flattery. I was like, sure, okay, whatever you say.
Yeah, I imagine that was different for you guys. Like, you guys had a real place to be like, yeah, this is offensive. Where I was like, okay, it's Wheels, yes.
Yeah,
Mike Chang and Tina Cohen Chang had the same last name, yet they are not the same ethnicity.
Yeah. There was.
Did they even address that you're Korean?
No.
There were also so many Asian, like jokes. Racist Asian jokes on this episode.
Oh my gosh.
Or I was telling some to Jenna, and she's like, I didn't even realize. I was like, subliminally, like.
I don't. They just, like.
It
over
comes
my head.
Out so often. I couldn't believe. Like, scenes where there didn't need to be one. Like. I'm not going to say them, but
it's
like,
weird.
Oh my
you just
God.
Like sometimes you just like block it out, you know, when it's like a certain time period.
Mm. Yeah,
you know, even though it was what?
Well, we were
2000s,
getting paychecks.
Yeah,
crazy. But I mean, even beyond that, like I just think that's without talking about it too much. But I think it's important. It's just like that's why now it is important to kind of look back at that and be like, let's not.
Yeah,
that was problematic.
Yeah,
right.
You know, whether the intention was there or not. And I think the intention wasn't to, like, hurt anyone's feelings.
Definitely.
But at the end of the day, it's like, just like this episode is talking about, like, the minorities weren't being heard.
Yep.
Right.
This is exactly the reason why, you know? And I think everyone has, or hopefully everyone who has contributed has kind of, like, seen a little bit of the effects of that.
Like you said, it's the time period. It's a time capsule. To be like, this
is
where we were
time capsule.
At this period.
Well, I mean, the fact that like Sandy Ryerson was like touching boys and he was still a teacher in the school was
like, this is a lot.
Things do not age well.
We were doing everything.
We've realized that things have not aged.
So about storyline, let's talk about storyline.
All right, so let's get into this episode because we have a lot more to cover and we'll probably cut half of that out. Before we keep going, let's give a shout out to Roth. Have you guys heard about this company making beautiful shoes for women and kids out of plastic water bottles? Oh, and they are so comfortable and fully machine washable, which is my favorite part. They're stylish, sustainable, comfortable, washable, really all in one pair of shoes. They're the perfect flats for life on the go. I love Rothy's. I have them in black, in navy, in gray. They're so comfy. I love what they do for the environment, and I love this company. Rothy's are the perfect everyday shoe for life on the go, and they go with everything from yoga pants to dresses and skirts. I wear them out to dinner all the time, and I wear them in everyday life. Go to rothys.com/showmans to get your new favorite flats. Rothys are seamlessly knit using thread made from plastic water bottles, so they're ultra comfortable as soon as you slip them on. That's right, there's a zero break-in period in these shoes. And another major bonus, they're fully machine washable, so every time they need a refresh, you can just toss them into the washing machine. It's like getting a fresh pair every laundry day. I swear, I put them in after I've worn them a couple of times, and they come back out, and they are like brand new. You'll quickly discover why BuzzFeed calls them their forever shoes. So check out all the amazing styles available right now at rothys.com/showmans. Go to rothys.com, rothys.com/showmans to get your new favorite flats. Comfort, style, and sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for. Head to rothys.com/showmans today.
Hey guys, it's Kelty Knight from the Lady Gang podcast. If you're into getting a very sassy, sexual, beautiful, inspiring, funny, oftentimes embarrassing, slightly anal podcast in your repertoire, subscribe to us, Lady Gang, on Podcast One, the Podcast One app. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Okay, so they're not being heard. Sue gets her little minions in there. She decides Sue's kids are being split up.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing at me?
I just when like Sue walks in, she's like, I found this little song that I think you like. And then I'm also now just like really
boom,
sensitive.
Boom, boom, boom.
We all know the backgrounds. Like to everything, it sounds crystal clear. We're like, yeah, and in the room, Amber and I were like, does anybody here know Jill Scott? Does anybody know Jill Scott?
No.
Like Harry might.
I know Jill Scott.
Yeah,
you know
Jill
Scott. I grew up with Jill Scott.
Yeah.
Jenna didn't.
Yeah, I knew Jenna didn't. I knew Chris didn't.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, there's certain people that don't know Jill Scott, but we know all the backgrounds.
Jill Scott, the two first names. So you're like, yeah. Who is this two first name girl?
Okay. What?
I love that laugh.
Okay. So we're still dealing with the pregnancy, right? The pregnancy has really kind of taken over these episodes now.
I liked the pregnancy storyline in this episode a lot.
Well, I like the fact that Jacob Ben Israel has blackmailed. Oh, yes, yeah. He has the inside. He's got the intel. And Rachel is now trying to protect Finn. And she's going, you know, she's going to have to give him her panties.
So Jacob Ben Israel blackmails Rachel. And Finn thinks it's really sweet. But Quinn's like, bro, that's not why she's doing it. For you, because she's in love with you. And then there's a little confrontation between Quinn and Rachel, which is nice. And she's like, back up. Which is funny, because at some point, you're like, Rachel and Quinn, like, when did they become even? Mm-hmm. Like, Quinn feels threatened.
By Rachel.
By Rachel, which is wild. But this whole time, Rachel's... And she took it well. She was like, okay, fine. I'm not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. But Finn is trifling.
Finn is trifling.
Yeah.
What if he's just acting dumb this whole time?
Well, we've also talked about this, that Finn gets dumber and dumber as the episodes go on, and the blank stare gets blanker and blanker. Yeah.
it's like, you can only fake that so much.
But he does such a good job at it. One of my favorite scenes of this episode is with Jennifer Aspen and Jessalyn Gilsig when they're at the OBGYN.
Oh, my goodness. Them two together.
She's like...
It's like something you read in the script, and then when you watch it, you're like, how did you even make it better?
I couldn't even place it in the script, because it just seems like, oh...
You read it, and you're like, oh, that's going to be funny.
The two of them were just comedic gold.
She says, what does Jennifer Aspen say in this episode? This is one of my favorite quotes of the episode. You can bet that a bunch of your patients will close on up their legs and walk on over to Dr. Chin.
Which also
is like, is every doctor OB in Lima Asian?
There's two, and they're both Asian. Yeah, yeah. And that whole scene is so racist. It's so racist. I was watching it with my hands on my face, like, oh my God. Maybe I should take back saying this was my favorite episode so far.
Is that saying something about you right now? Is that saying something about you?
What are we feeling, Kevin? How are we feeling?
It is that balance of the show where it is just so offensive. And at the time, I liked that this high school show.
Yeah.
At the time, because remember when we came out too, it was like, oh, this is the anti-High School Musical. And it was this thing where it was almost satirical a lot of the time. And then in the beginning, at least during this period, it was satirical and like rude. And at the time, I think it worked.
Well, yeah.
And I think maybe when I'm watching it, I feel like, I remember this being so funny. And
I think in a perfect world, right? In a perfect world, when you watch, let's just talk about this episode. If you watch it, and if nothing else outside exists as far as like inequality and all that, then it would be like, yeah, it's all even, and then let's all make fun of everyone, and it's fine. But the hard part is when you get out of it, out of the episode or whatever it is,
yeah. Right.
The world isn't like that, and then you have these like inequalities and all that stuff. So it's like a hard thing, because there is this like funny, but at the same time,
and
you're like, ah,
you're not watching it in a vacuum. Like, it does exist in real life.
You're like, dang, and I know it felt for audiences as well, and not just we lived it, but at the same time, but the good out of it is a lot of the characters did have these hero moments too. They weren't just laughed at.
And that's why it was nice. Like, Mercedes stands up. She's like, my dad's a dentist.
yeah.
She's like, I'm out. And then we all, like, everybody
redemptive
leaves.
Moments. In the
yeah. And that was really, that made that more impactful. It's like the more brutal everybody else was being.
Their conscience was like, we can't go down that hard. Let's give them some hero moments.
Do you guys remember Kurt's woolly mammoth sweater in Hate on Me, though? And also, that number was so ridiculous.
I was obsessed with Kurt's sweater.
I have a photo of that
I wanted it. I kept rubbing it. And he's like, take it.
It's like, and it was like all, he kept getting all the feathers or like the fur in his mouth.
Yeah.
His little dance sequence was great.
Yeah. The feet.
I love it.
Oh,
yeah.
So good. Chris, brilliant.
Did you ever get sick of them asking, like, now you just dance here? And it was like there was.
I think it was at the time where it was. Is what episode number was this?
I mean, this is like seven.
Seven. So it was pretty. Like I was. Early. I think it was my fourth episode.
Yeah. Yeah,
from
totally.
Like coming in, so I was just eager to do whatever the hell he wanted me to do, and Zach Woodley was just. Did do that. He's like, okay.
He's like, oh, thank God there's a real dancer. You do whatever you want.
No, well, but I was like, I wanted to take it on. I was like, hell yeah, yeah, let me do all my things. And yeah, sure. It was fun.
Yeah, well, we did get to watch, you know, when we watched Preggers a couple of weeks ago, it was, we saw you with the football players.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It was just like little young Harry.
That was my first.
Yeah, and then all these massive football players.
You don't look much older now.
Yeah.
You look so young. It was really, because obviously in my head, you've always just looked the same, and then seeing it was like, oh, yeah. Like,
he was a
How
fetus.
Old were you when you started it?
25.
Oh, my God.
So 20, I was 10 years older than the character needed to be.
We all were.
Well, yeah. I mean, except for Chris.
Yeah.
This episode, though, I feel like we've been talking about this, Harry. You know, like when we were watching earlier episodes, it's like the adults had massive storylines. They tried to fit Mr. Shoe in with all of these things like Acapellas. But then, like, this is the one where I feel like really hit its stride with the adults. Like with Sue and Will, I was like, this is what I want to watch. These are the adult storylines that I want to watch because it's all about the kids.
Right.
It's not about Mr. Shoe living his boy band dream.
Yes. Yeah.
No, I mean, those were – to me, that was interesting because it was part of like what happens to you. It's almost like what happens to your teacher when he goes home,
right?
And then they gave that effect. You're like, oh my God, these teachers are crazy too, or like just have like a difficult life. You know, they're struggling with different things.
They're struggling so much that the teachers are yelling at each other in the hallways.
Yeah. It's like, and no one bats an eye.
Yeah, I was like, what are the students saying? They're all just walking by and they're yelling at each other. I do love this is when they started the music for Sue, like duh, duh.
No, not the children.
Wait, is that the one where she goes and just pushes like a random extra?
Oh, I love that.
She takes like the in the
that was improv
the,
though.
Was it?
I think it was improv. I don't know why I was there. I remember watching that, and they're like, "Yeah." It just came. It was like, "What is she doing?" She pushes a random extra.
I also did wonder too when she walks out. Will's walking out of the office and she's like, don't touch me. And he like pokes her. She's like, that's a lawsuit.
Yes.
I was like, is that? And then she like goes back to the scene. I was like, is that?
She's still
improv?
Pushing children.
So good.
I do remember her saying though, most of the time it wasn't improv and it was just written that well.
Yeah.
Like her and Ian had
I
a special
would say
bond
like 95% of it was just written.
I mean, she says, because I don't trust a man with curly hair, I can't help but picturing small birds laying sulfurous eggs in there, and I find it disgusting.
It's so,
what?
That was definitely the peak of the hair insults. We're just so.
Well, Matt used to put.
That was impressive.
We knew the secret. Matt used to put Lubriderm in his hair to make it so wavy and soft and shiny.
That's all he used.
No, that's it.
Just Lubriderm.
Lubriderm is baby.
This
hair.
Is not an ad.
did you guys notice in Ride With Me, it was a oneer?
We only did it
at
once.
At least, but
no,
like.
We did it more than once.
It cuts to other shots, but like a majority of the top of it, I was like, that was a oneer. It was just Andrew literally painting. Go back and watch it. I might be wrong, but I'm almost positive that like he did a couple of takes of just the whole song through. It's
were there lock shots too?
Maybe two at the end, I think.
Because they did do it quickly.
You know what?
I did it really quickly.
Wow, I don't know how I remember. I think we did it like three times.
Right?
Yeah.
I think
really
we did
quick.
It three times.
Ryan's like, that's it. That's great.
And it did work. Like the scene placement in there did. That also makes sense. I was like, why am I rapping this whole thing to Rachel? And then it cuts and like, oh, we have dialogue. Just the two of us have dialogue after this.
Oh.
We're not really interacting with anybody else during the scene. But that was probably the scene-ish that was supposed to be there. And then it evolved into what it was.
Mm-hmm. This is also the episode where Finn wants to name the baby Drizzle.
Oh, God. It's so good. And
it's one of my favorite scenes.
He uses Gwyneth Paltrow as a reference of why he wants to name the baby Drizzle.
That's right, because of the apple.
And then...
The apple.
Well, we realized in the pilot or in Showmance, like John Stamos is brought up. All these...
Jemma Mays. Emma talks about John Stamos.
Do you think that they like
planted.
Let me put it so they can
ask them later,
or just like we would love to have that person on this.
I mean, I'm sure.
I could see it working in Ryan's
mind. Sure Ryan wrote them down and then said later, like, when they had enough, like, success, we're like, well, we should just get John Stamos or we should get Gwyneth Paltrow.
Or didn't they hit him up, too? It's like, I want to be part of it. Like, didn't some
people... I think eventually, I think after we had, like, a successful
name gets mentioned and you love a show, you're like, yo.
I'll show up.
Come on.
Before we keep going, let's give a shout-out to Candid. Unhappy with your smile? Tired of feeling self-conscious in photos? Why not make this the year you straighten your teeth with Candid?
For a limited time, you could get started with $75 off by using code SHOWMANS at CandidCO.com/SHOWMANS.
Candid delivers clear aligners directly to you and straightens your teeth for thousands less than braces. Unlike braces, Candid clear aligners are comfortable, removable, and totally invisible, so you can transform your smile without anyone noticing a thing. Plus, you never have to set foot in a doctor's office or waiting room. Your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist.
Learn more about Candid's process and get a complimentary 3D scan of your teeth at a Candid studio near you. It's the simplest, freest way to get started. So, are you ready to take the first step towards straighter teeth? For a limited time, you can get started with $75 off by using code SHOWMANS at CandidCO.com/SHOWMANS. That's CandidCO.com/SHOWMANS. Use code SHOWMANS for $75 off. CandidCO.com/SHOWMANS. Code SHOWMANS.
There was a period where, I don't know where this came from, there's a period where people were talking about Javier Bardem being on the show. Mm. And I was like, I don't know why he would ever want to do this, but yes.
Right.
And
I
used to
that.
Email Ryan when those rumors would come. I was like, is this true? And there was one of my favorite shows is called Little Britain. One of the actors on there.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a rumor flying around that he was going to be on it. And I was like, is he going to be on it? And Ryan was just like, no, it's not true. I'm sorry. Okay.
So many rumors would fly about different guests, right?
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Ugh.
What's the craziest one? Was there a crazier one? I mean, Javier is pretty
awesome. I thought Javier Bardem
cool.
was wild.
Pretty crazy.
It's like, wild.
Like, out of nowhere, left field. You know what's funny? It was when I did Crush and Tiger, Donnie Yen loved the show. And he's like, hey, I want to be on the show. I'm like, I'm not on the show anymore. But like, yeah, that'd be crazy to see someone like
that. Donnie Yen. That would
have been wild. Wow. Like, is it still going?
I'm like, hey, it's on his last
I'm like,
season.
I could put in a good word.
Yeah.
Okay, so then, you know, since Sue's kids are singing about hate, Will thinks that they should take a nicer approach. And then he gives them no air. What?
Which,
no
again...
Air. What? And also, it's like she's singing into the mic, and it's like, Demi, like,
there's so much like reverb. I loved it. The backgrounds
Beyonce
come
fans.
In; it sounds like a choir. And then Heather,
there's three. It's
Heather
Diana
doesn't know the words, or just like ooze, and she's like looking over, which was so good. Or Brittany. Brittany doesn't know the words.
Brittany.
So crazy because like watching it, you're just like, oh, like it's cool to be part of this.
Yeah.
And you never thought of it as in like a. Outsider audience. Yeah. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, oh yeah.
But that's what
I could see how it looks like. Yeah.
It cuts to them in the hallway. That's what saved it for me. It's like that's the satirical aspect. I was like, okay, we know what we're doing is sort of absurd and insane, but it's like great and joyous and funny. And it cuts to
the fans
Finn
in the hallway.
And Rachel in the hallway, and there's just fans.
It's a Beyonce
blowing their
fan.
Hair.
I'm not kidding.
I'm like, okay, I'm glad we're aware of ourselves.
The music video dream.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, you get that when Ryan directs.
Like, speaking of music video dream, the Keep Me Hanging On moment when Quinn turns around and busts into Keep Me Hanging On.
Nothing I can do about it.
And it's great. And it's like the pure, like, the dance moves are like cheer inspired.
Oh, is that? Yes, it's a cheer one.
But I like, at the end of it, Quinn is like, take five, everyone. I was like, did Quinn just choreograph this in a free time? Like, wait, girls, if we could just get together.
But how good did those
ideas.
Girls look in those football outfits on that
stage?
Oh,
they look great. That was like, a great number.
That was one of the first times you used like a stage for a dream sequence like that. It was so good.
But do you think how many of these do you think like were in just complete dream states and or like reality?
Right.
Obviously, that one.
Well, I think that one in reality it would have taken place on the football field.
Right.
She, like, that's where it ends.
In the pyramid.
Like, yeah. Like she's thinking of that throughout
she's
the day
thinking of
and
it, like,
it ends there.
She's, like, stalking them around the school singing. Right. And, like, I like that Santana and Brittany were behind them, like, doing the background.
So good.
So good.
Yeah. So in the stage performance, like, that, just like Bust Your Windows, I imagine the stage performance and all that is
in their heads, yeah. in our heads.
I mean, credit to Zach and
Oh, my gosh.
Like, they were That's they a were lot breaking their plan. Backs. That yeah.
Well,
first
here's
season.
The thing. It's all like, seasons, well, but. All the seasons, like, we did 700 numbers. You think about it. We probably did 700, Harry. Yeah. So maybe
Can't
we did, I don't know, half of those, like the Glee Club yeah. and solos. And then think about it. Like, we didn't have to do the other half. But, like, Zach and Brooke really choreographed all 700.
Yeah.
That's where they're like, learn this dance and get out of here, please. Just like, what is taking so long? I have like this whole other big number.
Yeah, and we would be like us. Yeah, like, but this walking is too hard. I can't go forward. It's like, do a straight line.
No.
Harry, for you,
yeah.
what was your experience like getting cast on the show?
My experience? Well... I got called on a Saturday. This was like
sounds it, right.
Yeah, I got called on a Saturday, and I was up north visiting family. Actually, it was a sad day because it was my grandma's funeral.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was my grandma's funeral, and then we're like, you know, in the end, we're just like kind of celebrating her life, and then I get a call. It was like, you have this audition on Sunday, tomorrow. They're like. Yeah, and I was like, "What is it for?" And then it was like, "Oh, this is for the show Glee," and Shelby was on it.
Yes,
so she I kind of caught up, but I didn't know what it was really. It was just like she was like, "It's really cool, blah blah." You get to, you know, it's dance. You get to dance a lot, and I was like, "Cool." And I went in. I read for Finnsides, and there's like a bunch of people. So many people.
Yeah.
It was like, and you know, I did it, and then I sang a song. I sang Love.
You did?
Yeah, I sang That Can Go Love.
Oh my God.
And then I didn't
the
hear
day
anything
after
for a week.
Funeral.
Yeah. Yeah. It was this weird thing because like you come in, you're like, but you needed something to like,
yeah.
oh, I need to get yeah. my mind off of it. And then a week later, I got cast for like a day player,
mm-hmm.
and I got to come in. I, you know, met everyone. You know, I kind of knew you,
yeah,
and Heather. And then my scene was with Corey and Mark. And then I walked in and did that whole dumb
single lady,
like I didn't know what I was doing.
Wow.
And then they asked me another. They're like, "Oh, can you come to the? I don't know, next week." And they're like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Oh, can you come the week after?" And I was like, "So, do you want me to like be on the show?" Because they were like, "You know, give me a contract." And they're like, "Oh, okay." And then you know, I was on for a lot longer than I thought.
Yeah.
Was it weird? I just because we had such a separate experience in terms of like how we got cast on the show, where you. Just like that evolved over time, and then pretty quickly it's like, well, you have to stay here permanently. Like, what was it ever like weird in the beginning figuring out like you were hired because you auditioned, you sang, you acted, but like did you know
but
Zach
I was a dancer? No,
you were
was,
a dancer.
Yeah, yeah. I knew that was my I was like, you're getting hired as a dancer,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, cool. And then I started noticing I was in like every scene that you guys were in, and I think credit to you guys. It was just so welcoming, and it just made the experience a lot better because I know a lot of times you come in as a co-star, guest star, and it can be a very alienating experience,
mm-hmm.
or you're always constantly having to try and figure out where you fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys really just made me feel comfortable and always like knew what I was there to do, but also didn't make me feel like I was just like an outsider.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that really helped, I think, throughout the at least. Throughout the whole kind of journey, because everyone just had something special to contribute to the show, and I just thought that was something I was very grateful coming in. But yeah, I did feel like where was my place at times, because you know, you open up a script, you're like, you hope to contribute mm-hmm. more than you could, and you're like, well, all right, I'm going to make up my own story in the background and make my own faces. I remember at some point someone was like, man, you got to really explore the different facial expressions that you can make as a human back there. Because I was like, yes, I
cut
did.
Cut to my chain.
Yes, I did.
Confused. Yeah, cut to my chain.
We said that a couple times, though. Like, that's how some of the biggest characters, like you and Heather, like, your characters just evolved just
from
by
dancer
you guys
to
being you.
Yeah.
And I do remember, it's weird to think about a time when you weren't in the, like, Glee Club or a part of our group. Because, I mean, obviously for 98% of the time you were there. But I do remember, like, the first couple weeks where you was like, oh, he's now in the Glee Club.
Right.
And it wasn't like later on when new people came in, we're like, okay, who's this person? Like, yeah. Are we going to like them? Are we going to be nice to
no,
them?
No, it was so early on.
And,
but, like,
and obviously, like, you are the nicest human being and we're super professional. We're like, oh, thank God somebody can dance. We're like,
they've done this before.
Yeah, like, oh, we desperately like need that. None of us know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I just remember we would talk about like, oh, that Harry's awesome. Right. Like, he's good. Right. We could really like him.
I remember.
And we knew Shelby, and Shelby was we're like, okay, this is great. Before we keep going, let's talk about Ritual.
We all want to do the right thing to keep our bodies healthy in the long run, right, Kevin?
We do.
But even if we try really hard to eat kale salads and drink green smoothies, we're still most likely not getting all the essential nutrients we need on a daily basis, right?
Tell me
so
about it.
So enter Ritual, the obsessively researched vitamin for women. I have a friend who takes Ritual and literally cannot swallow pills. Do you have a problem with pills, Kevin? Like swallowing pills? The taste? So you guys, if you are not used to taking vitamins, if this is not part of your ritual, maybe think about getting Ritual for yourself, putting it by your toothbrush in the morning so that you take it right away when you go to brush your teeth. Because if you're not brushing your teeth in the morning, then, you know, there's another problem. But I think this is a great way to start. And who doesn't want to live a healthier lifestyle?
Visit ritual.com/showmance to start your ritual today.
They tell you exactly where all the vitamins are coming from in the world. So it's like they are so transparent and I absolutely love it. Ritual Essential for Women is the multivitamin reimagined. From D3 to omega-3, Ritual's Essential for Women helps fill in the gaps in a woman's diet. Their no nausea capsule design is gentle on any empty stomach, and there's a mint tab in every bottle to keep things fresh, so you don't get that fishy aftertaste common with most omega-3s.
Also, Ritual is delivered. A subscription is easy to start. It's only $1 a day to have all the essential nutrients your body needs delivered every month. No strings attached. Better health doesn't happen overnight, and right now, Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Fill in the gaps in your diet with Essential for Women, a small step that helps support a healthy foundation for your body. Visit ritual.com/showmance to start your ritual today. That's 10% off during your first 3 months at ritual.com/showmance.
I remember when we were down in Long Beach, what number was it when we found Charlie?
Oh, damn. I don't know what number it was.
So we were down in Long Beach, and we see this stray dog, so dirty, moppy.
Did you and Telly found?
Yeah,
oh,
and
man.
Leah. And this dog comes along and across base camp, and we're like, oh, my God, he has no tag, no collar, nothing. So we, like, tie him up with a string to the trailer. He's, like, super scared.
He was in the hair and makeup trailer, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, we kept him there, but he was, like, dirty. I mean, like, so dirty. And we were like, oh, no. So Leah and I are like, what are we going to do? And Leah and I were, like, contemplating actually, like, splitting a dog. And I was like, this is not going to work, Leah. We cannot split a dog. One of us has to choose. We're not in, like, a relationship where that's going to work out. And then I remember being Harry's like, maybe I got to talk to Shelby. I got to talk to Shelby.
Yeah, I saw him, and I was just like, he had a cast on. Like, sweet. It was like he had
he was so cute.
He was so,
so
chill.
Dirty. And, like, long but hair, but so
like,
sweet.
Super calm, yeah.
And then, is it L'Oreal?
Laurel,
I think, yeah. One of the ADs, she took him and bathed him, mm-hmm. and then Telly, and then, like, at one point, Ryan wanted to take him, but he had,
the
like,
dog had
too
a
many
journey.
Things going on.
And then, didn't Leah take the dog home at first?
No.
She never did?
No, I think L'Oreal took her.
Okay.
L'Oreal took her, and then I picked it up from L'Oreal.
That's wild.
Him up
and you were like, we're going to take this dog.
Yeah, you know, just something I mm-hmm. felt like this energy. I was like, "Yo, this is my dude, man!" And
Charlie.
he's been my dude ever since. I think he's like 12 years old now.
That's crazy.
Dude, just an old man just
we
walking
love
around.
Charlie.
He's the best.
Roman Street to LBC.
What was he doing in the LBC?
I don't know.
That dude broke out so many times when I first got him. Man, he figured out like 10 different ways.
That's
to get
probably
out of my
why
house.
He was where he was when we found him.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He'd probably broken out from somewhere.
Sweet Charlie.
But going back
Charlie's
to that point
dog.
Of like of like when I first felt like the true like oh I belong mm-hmm. And part of this group was when we did the extracurricular activities it was the upfronts
mm-hmm.
and then like having like Ryan and all them saying like, oh, you're going too. And I'm like, wait, right. why would right. you take me? Like, you have enough people to do these numbers.
We need all 12. Right.
Yeah, we need us all.
But it was just cool. It just felt like outside journey. It wasn't just like, you're on set, do the thing and get out. It was just more like, and then Oprah happened and all those things were just like Obama, like the White House.
The craziest weekend of our lives.
The craziest week. And I was like, what is happening to us? This is crazy.
Yeah, I feel like Upfronts was like a first, you know, we got to bond, we got to perform together live.
We had taken trips separately, or like the original six. We had done some promo stuff.
Well, we did like the Mall Topic tour.
Yeah, Mall tour, and we went to Australia. Like there were there were things where we were sort of like factioned off, and that the Upfronts was really the first time we all got together.
Travel to another
and it worked.
Place.
You know, like you can travel together, and you can realize like, oh, I hate these people, and we travel together. Like, oh no, let's keep hanging out because we're obsessed with one another.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it really got to that point where it was like, don't you guys hang out enough already?
I know. It's like no, not enough. Also, you and Shelby would like host really great get-togethers, which was nice.
Yeah. It would be like a 12-hour day. You'd be like, what are we doing after? Yeah. Where are we going to eat?
Lunch? Where are you going to go eat? You're like, oh, God.
You're like, everybody wants to go eat together? How are we going to get in?
It was great, man. It was great. It was so much fun. It was a great experience.
Yeah, and then we do keep holding on.
Which?
We just got there.
Yeah.
Well, that was the most intricate number we did.
At that point. Because I remember it was really insane to like learn for everybody.
A lot of staging. It was just constant movement.
And I made a note of this
watching
it. All
these like crossing and you go down this way and you go up this way.
But it was one of the first times where I felt like they really used the song to tell the story. You've talked about this before, but it was that time where that number was more important. It was more important to show the emotion and who was looking at who and the collective is supporting this person.
Right.
And yes, it's all intricate and everybody's wearing like black and white. And it's
pretty.
Moody and pretty. And it was one of those times where we just had the craziest, most absurd, like wild episode that was full of jokes. Mm-hmm. Like joke after joke after joke after joke. And then all of a sudden.
You just brought it back.
Yeah, yeah. You bring it back and you're like, this is what the show, the heart, always. Like you always bring it back to like the heart of the show. And the heart of the show is they're supporting their friend.
Well, and everyone beyond the dancing and singing is they had to be there emotionally too. Mm-hmm. I feel like everyone was like really trying to dig in and find something to help the story along. And I think what it's funny though is I don't know how you guys feel. Like sometimes the dancing is cool when you get to like, I don't know, do like big moves. But this one I always felt like had more, I guess, emotional value.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like even like the staccato and like moving your head
and
like the arm raises, but making sure we had to all be on time or it just would look like crap.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do. Oh, and Tim going, nothing you can do.
Oh my God.
I was yelling at the TV.
Davis.
That's why. I forgot. I'm like, why am I screaming the backgrounds
Tim
right
Davis,
now?
Tim Davis, our lyric master, would be like, you have to open your mouth.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Nothing you can say. Yes.
And then you're just screaming.
And then remember, we had to recreate Keep Holding On years later.
Oh, yeah.
Seasons later, we redid it again. But Sue outs Quinn on the Prego.
I do remember, like, the storyline where, like, we're supposed to be supporting Quinn. It was the first time, like, there was a really serious scene for the Glee Club.
Mm.
And I just remember we were all, like, so quiet and, like, making sure, like, Diana could like get to her place. She just had to cry for like
the whole
6 hours or 8 hours because it used to take a really long time to shoot the musical numbers.
And that was a big one too.
That's hard, especially when your adrenaline's going. Yeah,
it's like how is she doing this over and over? And we were like, I'm like, I can't cry even during the saddest of times. Good luck to her.
Does this remind you of another number where we lost it and we were all laughing? Do you remember Fix You, Harry? When we were all in white and it was Alfonso's episode.
We
were doing Coldplay's Fix You and Matt had to sing and cry and Will had to cry. And
why are we always with
Matt? We were doing the ooze and in the background, the vocals, and we were all laughing so hard that our shoulders were shaking. I was full on crying. And
From laughing.
And Alfonso, he screamed at us from Village because he was like, hey, you guys have to pull it together.
Because Leah used to do this really, really, really great fake, like, bad singing.
Well, which is where laryngitis came from.
Yes,
that
which
episode.
Was my favorite thing on the planet. And then we all were like, oh,
fix you.
Yeah.
Might as well go.
And a choir of 12 people doing that behind you is just,
yeah.
It's just better than when one of us would lose it.
Well, you guys were all keeping it together, and it was me because my shoulders were going
up
and down.
But when I see your shoulders in front of me, because you're always in front, I'm like, I'm done.
Liam's
I'm
like,
done.
Kevin, you're getting us in trouble. I'm like, God.
So much trouble.
I'm sorry. This is comedic gold.
Harry, did you feel like earlier on you were missing out on being in Vocal Adrenaline?
What, missing out?
Yes.
Hell no. You see those numbers?
Dancing.
Oh my God. Even during that time, I was like past my prime of dancing. I was like, I can't do that. Shelby would come back with like bruises and people would puke like how they
did in the show.
The show was real. Like these people were like just like dislocated shoulder and just like still trying to,
like, Mercy was such a good number.
So good.
We're just
Vocal Adrenaline.
Vocal Adrenaline.
I know, man.
That's
so
like,
good.
That's an athletic team.
We were fans. We were like proper fans of Vocal Adrenaline.
You're like, how are we winning in any of these when they're
the
going?
Thing.
We have heart, Harry.
We do have heart.
We,
we have
had
heart.
Nothing but heart.
We did have heart.
Oh. Well.
Mom, that was good.
I
good
know.
Times.
Harry, you have any other memories you want to share?
I think we shared quite a few memories.
Oh, Bettina and Mike were one of the longest relationships on Glade.
Yes.
Just want to point that out while you're here.
You guys
here.
Suck.
Yeah, jealous. You guys ended it. You guys ended it. And
we did.
I was legitimately, like, my only storyline really was, like, my relationship, Artie's relationship with Tina. And then it was like, oh, okay, Mike and Tina are together. I'm like, what's going to happen to Artie? I'm like, what's happening? But it was really good and really funny, and I was all about it.
Bout it.
Yeah.
Tina, just jumping.
And also, it was like...
What's going
jumping,
on?
Jumping.
It was really nice to see... I think Ryan is super loyal. And it was like, you kept your head down. You did the work.
Right.
Like, didn't be like, hey, can you give me a storyline?
Right.
Like,
you weren't asking
And then it was
stuff.
Like, here you go. Start of like season two. Was it start of season two?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You automatically got... A whole plot line.
Well, we went to Asian camp.
Yeah.
Asian camp. Yeah. Well, I'm just so grateful for Ryan and, you know, Ian and Brad, but like Ryan just not really. I think he's been doing this his whole career where he just sees something and he might not know that you can do it, but he just trusts, he believes in you and he has confidence in you, and even if you kind of don't in a weird way, because he's like, oh, how's your singing coming along? And I'm like, I'm totally in class. And I was like, oh, God, I got to sign up. And then he was just giving them, you know, and then the storyline just comes out of nowhere. And you kind of have to be prepared to do it. So, I mean, a lot of credit to, like, for reals, for Ryan to just allow some kid from Costa Rica to, like, just give you a chance.
That's so sweet.
So nice.
Give you a chance. And then, you know what's weird? Even now, like... People come like young, like kids in like junior high and high school are like watching this for the first time, which blows my mind because
so
I'm like,
crazy.
You are too young to know what this show is.
No, it's
and they're like, no, we know, you're Mike and blah blah. Like what?
Everybody we've talked to has felt the exact same resurgence.
Like
I think
you?
I must be through Netflix.
Yeah, totally.
But like. In the same
is it on Netflix?
And we all have the same reaction. Like, you shouldn't be watching this. You're too young.
Like, I mean, the stuff that's happening right now, it's all good.
True.
It's actually tame.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But yeah, they still a lot of the storylines and jokes are still like,
oh my god,
they're still relevant.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and the characters just have so much heart, and they're still so relatable. And you know, the underdog, and that's I think
underdog
what really
is there's always
caught
an underdog.
On, you know.
Yeah.
Well. Thanks for coming in here.
Thanks for having me.
It's so nice to have you.
Yeah, Harry.
It's good to see you.
Look at this trio.
Yeah. We did the TV Guide thing together, remember?
Oh,
all three of us?
Right.
Oh, that's right.
It was so cute.
We should post
that. That's hanging on my wall.
My parents have that on their buffet in the living room.
And like a box somewhere.
There's so many things.
I know. Well, that's the thing. You really got to choose which ones you want to hang out to.
I learned that from Jenna.
Yeah.
She's like, get rid of it.
It doesn't spark joy.
Does
it sparkly? Does it sparkly?
Does it sparkly? There you go. That is your show.
Does it
sparkly?
Thank you, Harry.
Thank you for having me.
Glee. That was amazing. It's so good to see Harry.
So good. So we have a question from Malaysia.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is amazing. Wow. Again, it's still baffling that, like, people everywhere.
Did you know, Kevin, that Glee was dubbed in over 40 languages?
What?
Around the world.
Did you Google that?
No, somebody told me that when we were doing the show, and I remember being, like, blown away. I was
wild.
What?
That is really wild.
And how funny is that? Well, you just want to see your voice dubbed in, like, some
I had friends,
far place far, far away.
I had friends in Brazil. They would show me, they'd like send me videos of like it airing in Brazil and our voices, and I would show it to everybody. I'm like, what? I'm like, that's what I sound like? So Tourist from Malaysia, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. I think Tourist. One, she wants a reunion tour in Asia, which I always was pushing
for. I'm down
for
that.
Yeah, I always wanted that.
Great.
So Tourist from Malaysia has a question. She asked, when we shot the scene, did we shoot the entire song or did they trim it in half? Or did we do a cut of the song? We did a little of both, actually. Like, we sometimes would shoot a longer version of the song, and then in the final edit of the episode, they would shorten it.
Right.
And then sometimes we automatically just shot a shorter version of it, and that's what was in there.
Right. Yeah, normal. I feel like the majority of the time, we'd record in the studio, like, a three-minute song. We would get a cut version to shoot, which would
edit.
Be, like, one verse, chorus, bridge, and that would be it. A TV edit. That's shorter. Just and then, yeah, some other times it would just be like Tina's Revolution, which was like 30 seconds. Oh, yeah, Kevin, I forgot. Gleek of the Week.
Yes. This one is really special.
We love this one. It tickles us.
Yeah, it's okay, wait, just play it.
Hi, my name is Shauna. I'm from Mayo in Ireland. Me and my sister love listening to the Showman's podcast every Thursday and watching Glee. I would just like to let Kevin McHale know that I translated his song Help Me Now into Irish and I tweeted it on my account. So if you would like to check it out, my account is Shauna Connor X, all lowercase and no spaces. Thank you. Bye.
Shauna and her sister, they have to be the Gleeks of the Week.
Gleeks of the Week.
The sweetest. Thanks for doing that. I'm going to go look it up.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Ugh,
I love
the best.
That. Well, keep writing us in no matter where you're from. I mean, we love it. That's
I know.
Amazing.
I can't believe so many people are
it's weird.
Listening. Make sure you watch episode 8, Mashup.
Do your homework.
Next week.
And we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye. You can't steal my show.
Thank you so much for listening to Showman's Glee Recap Edition.
Get new episodes every Thursday on Spotify, PodcastOne.com, and Apple Podcasts.
Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jenna Ushkowitz.
Follow me on Instagram at Kevin McHale and on Twitter at Druidude.
Subscribe to the show.
Leave a nice rating.
And a 5-star review.
And spread the word.
See you next week.
Bye.